Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for these folks that come to study your word, to worship, to fellowship. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us in this class and be with Pastor Bruce, especially in bringing the message that we might be able to hear, understand, and act upon it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Second book of the Bible. Third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Well, I was thinking of Exodus. Because in Exodus 12, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." And he set the months in action. But Leviticus 23 talks about some feasts. And we are between feasts, sort of, on the Jewish calendar. Last week, we had the Feast of Trumpets. And we'll explain that as we go through today. And on Wednesday coming up, right now we are in, oh boy, I gotta look this one up. We are in the Yomen Noraim, which is the 10 days of affliction. We'll explain that more when we go through it. And coming up on Wednesday is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is a big and high and holy day for the Jewish calendar. And these feasts point to certain things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't take one thing and make a whole doctrine out of it, but we can see, and the Bible itself uses various things, like he is our Passover lamb, and various things like that. He's the first fruits. And so I thought it would be good, because we're right here in the calendar, that we would look at these two together. And if we look at chapter 23, I'd like to start at the beginning. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." And then he describes the weekly feast, this weekly Sabbath, in verse 3. Verse 4, he starts to describe the Passover. In verse 6, he describes unleavened bread. Verse 9, the first fruits. Verse 15, he describes Pentecost. And then down in verse 23 is where we want to read a few verses. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So that's the Feast of Trumpets. And it goes on with the Day of Atonement and says in verse 26, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also in the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall do what to your souls?" Pardon? Afflict your souls. "And offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work on that same day, the same soul I will destroy from among the people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth month of the ninth day of the month at even. From even until even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath." And then he goes on to explain Tabernacles, which is a much happier feast. But I thought that I would like to remind you of the calendar that we have. We've seen this before many times. And agricultural or the civil or the Genesis calendar is listed here with the 12 months. When God met Moses and they were doing the Passover, it was the month of Nisan, and he says, this month of Nisan will be the first day of the year for you for Passover purposes. So this is the religious or the ceremonial calendar. They still use both calendars today. So for them right now, it's Tishri. The first day, well, a couple of days ago, it's the first day of the month, the first day of the year. Okay? They all match. Now, these are Babylonian names for the months. Many of them are the same, but there are, back in Genesis, there are some months that are Hebrew names. Okay? But we won't get into that. So right now, this is where we are, and the solar or the Gentile calendar rotates somewhere near, these are approximate when they are, when they happen. Okay? Any questions about that? We've seen that before when we did Passover and 10 days and things like that. So, we are, also there is a feast of the new moon that we didn't read about. It's found in Numbers 10:10 and 28:11. Rosh Chodesh Tishri. Rosh is just the day, the head of the month or the first of the month, and then whatever month it is, it's Tishri or Adar or Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's just known as that. This is the modern Hebrew. You'll notice that it's very different than the older Hebrew. The new moon, beginning of every month. Okay, they go on a lunar calendar. And the reason they have these monthly celebrations, no matter what day of the month it is, whether it's a Sabbath, a regular Sabbath, or if it's a Tuesday or whatever, they have it to remind the people of what God has done for them. What miracles he's done, what victories he's given them, what provisions. Also to rest, because it's an agricultural, and at a lot of times in the Older Testament, a warrior type race. To give thanks through their offerings, to repent, gives them an opportunity to repent and offer sacrifices. Also gives them an opportunity to read the scriptures, the Torah. And pronounced Rosh Chodesh, and then whatever month it is. And it's Tishri. The first, we're using the orange one. This one kind of spins. You could actually spin it around, and it'll change. Because right now we're in the middle of Tishri, and we're in about there in October. So we're talking about the first of Tishri. Not September. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is known as Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And it marks the beginning of the civil year. So it's the new year. And remember on the calendar, Tishri was the first month of the civil year. Okay? It's the beginning of the year. And this time it started September 30th to October the 1st this year is when it started at that day. So they had the Feast of Trumpets. They had Rosh Chodesh Tishri, the first of Tishri, Rosh Hashanah, the first of the new year, and the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Terah, all on the same day. Okay? And when they have the Feast of Trumpets, they blow trumpets. 100 trumpet blasts while they're in the synagogue. And trumpets are being blown all over the city, all the ram's horns. And we'll even see the silver trumpets for the tabernacle, what have you. It starts, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Terah, starts the Yomim. And remember, what's Yom mean? Y-O-M? Day. Okay. And when you put a I-M or M-I-M on the end of a word, it means plural. So it's days. Yomim Noraim, days of affliction. There's 10 days when you can afflict your soul and get right with God and be repent of your sins and do good deeds. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And it leads right up to the Day of Atonement. By that time, you should be right with God. You got 10 days to do it. And then on the 15th of the month, we have the Feast of Booths or Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, and that is a really good time. And at the end of that, it was a seven-day party. They were enjoying it so much that they decided to add another day, Rosh Simchat Torah, the day of rejoicing for the Torah, the book of the law. And we read this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, the seventh month, the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And this is the 10 days from up till Yom Kippur, making them very holy days. And the Jewish tradition says that God writes every person's words and deeds and thoughts in the book of life. And he opens it on Rosh Hashanah, and that's when he can start putting things in. And here's a picture of a guy with a ram's horn and a very large ram, or a bull, perhaps, a bullock horn, a shofar. There's the silver, an example of the silver trumpets that were used at the tabernacle and at the temples. They were special temple ones. They had a different sound, but they were also blown on this day. And so we have these three feasts on the same day, and then we have the days of affliction, the 10 days of affliction. So, if your good deeds outnumber your sinful deeds for the year, your name will be inscribed in the book of life. For another year, by the way. Yes, for another year. So, today we have realized that this past year you have done 500 grams of sins. Okay? Now, we put that on the balance. And we say, what can we do to do good things for the next 10 days to balance off all my bad sins for last year? And this is what they actually think. So I think it would be good if we decided to call all of our seniors, okay? Maisie, Anna, Olga, Julie, the other Julie, all the ones that are stuck in, that Julie usually comes. Even call May, because, I mean, she's all alone now. So if we call all the seniors and talk to them, well, that didn't do much. So I know we can make an offering to the church. Oh, that's not good enough. What else could we do? Any ideas? You got anything you'd like to help with your you could read your scriptures more. Yes, you could. And this is that just might do it. So we're going to read our scriptures for 10 days. We're going to give a little bit more to the Lord. We're going to call those people, and we're going to... Anyway, it did it.
I didn't like your offering.
No. I just did that for you. Anyway, it worked. It saved you. Actually, it didn't save you.
No.
What it did is got your name written for the next year. If we'd just given the other pleat, it would have done the same, and it wouldn't have fallen all over the place. So these sins are written off, and your name has been placed in the book of life for another year. Okay, just another year. Yes, ma'am. You're supposed to afflict your soul, which means you fast and you pray, you repent of your sins. It doesn't anywhere in the Bible say that you can do good works to get to heaven or do good works to get in there. This is their tradition. Okay, maybe that's where they got it from. Got the Lent from. Problem is, Rosh Hashanah is referred to as the Day of Judgment, but Jesus said he had the authority to judge. And in fact, in John 5:24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." Right? And if we go down, Paul called Jesus the judge, the living of the dead. But God does have a Lamb's book of life. And in Revelation 21, verse 27, we read, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, whether whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, they're the ones that are going to be in heaven." Okay. This book of life that they record all your good works for 10 days, how much does that help you get to heaven? Yeah. But if you think of what were the sacrifices all about in the Old Testament?
Covering.
A covering, yes, an atonement for their sins. Okay, it was a covering. What would happen if you didn't bring it? Didn't bring the offering, and you people knew that you had been a thief and whatever, and you didn't repent and you didn't bring the offering, what would happen?
You'd die in your sins.
You'd die in your sins, but you would be punished by God. Okay, these covered you from a punishment from a holy God. Okay, so again, this is their tradition, and this is what they're going through. And she was saying that she was writing letters to people, right? Your friend was writing letters to people and doing...
Yeah, inviting people for food. And she did mention the book of life.
Yeah. But when they talk about the book of life, it's not the Lamb's book of life. Okay. Prior to the Rosh Hashanah, they used the ram's horn for a whole variety of things. We mentioned a lot of them at the beginning. Warnings of whatever. War in the desert. They would blow the trumpets that get ready to move and move on. All the new moons, all the Sabbaths and that, they would be blowing the... And they would all have a different sound. And some of the guys can really get a good sound out of the shofar. But I'm sparing you that today because when we did this before, we had, can't remember his name now, he had a TV program, and he had a recording of, and it was just bedlam, the cacophony of ram's horns being blown. Because it's blown 100 times. But you want to blow it, and you want to blow it, and you want to blow it, and you want to, and I want to blow it. So I'm going to blow it 100 times. You're going to blow it. You got all these, and they're all different sizes and shapes and what have you.
It's using all those audio clips of the shofar being blown, and you're not going to let them hear?
No. I'm sparing them. A common custom of sending cards to relatives and friends, wishing them a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. The message includes a greeting, and there it is in English phonics, which means, may you be inscribed in the book of life for a good year. And that's all you get, because you got to come back. Remember the Day of Atonement. Every year they had to go through the same thing. Every year. And the tradition is to eat apples with slices dipped in honey. The apples represent the provisions, and the honey represents the sweetness for the coming year. We saw a program last night on Hometown from Laurel, Mississippi. These bees had moved in to the wall of this house they were renovating, and they actually had a big honeycomb in there. Well, maybe it's turning the head. A honeycomb in there, and they... They had to remove them, and bee rescuer, yes. So all this is a lead up to the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. Okay, Yom is the day, is the word for day, and it's on the 10th day of Tishri. We read that, and this year is on October the 9th, and you'll notice the Hebrew writing is slightly different. This is the older script, much nicer to read than the new square script. It's the day that the high priest made atonement for sin for himself and everyone. It's the most solemn Jewish holiday. I've asked you and I've told you, what does Yom mean? Day. Very good. And Kippur means atonement or covering, and it's just a temporary reconciliation. And the Old Testament, it was all atonement, okay? But when Christ came, he himself as high priest offered his own blood, and what did he do with our sins? Took them all away, forgave them all, tossed them into the deepest part of the blue sea, threw him way behind his back, put him as far as the east to the west. That's a whole conglomerate of Psalms and Proverbs. And remembers them no more. We remember them. We sometimes have to live with the consequences of them, but we remember them. So these 10 days are known as the days of repentance. And Yom Kippur is the final day of judgment when God judges the people. And this is the only day in the year that the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. He went in the first time with blood for his own self. And then he went, got another, and came back in for the blood of the whole nation. And it was a time of fasting and prayer. That's afflicting your souls. And there's other places that's used, in, especially in Nehemiah, where it talks about afflict your souls and fast and pray. And that's what you did. This is the only feast where you fast. It's called the Feast of... Well, it's called the Day of Atonement, actually. But this is the only time God tells them to fast. Now, there's individual things. People fast for individual items, but this is the day when the whole country was to that. It wasn't a party. Rosh Chodesh Tishri, the first day of the month, the first day of the new moon, the day of trumpets, the day of Pentecost, the day of Passover, they were parties. You had a big Passover meal, you had special stuff, but then you would eat well for the 7 days of unleavened bread and all that. But this day, you afflicted your souls. When he was finished with the atonement, a goat was released. They chose two goats, and one was released. When he was finished, he put his hand on the one. He would sacrifice that one, put the blood on the altar for the people. He would go to the next one, and he would put his hand on it, and that would transfer all the sins to that goat, and the scapegoat would carry all the sins away, never to return. It would be taken out to the wilderness and shooshed away. Until one day, it came back. And they were just terrified. So from then on, they made a guy go with it out into the wilderness. And instead of doing what God said, just shoosh it away, he took it. Once he found it way out there, he would kill it. So it would not ever come back. The Holy of Holies in the temple was separated from the congregation by a thick veil from floor to ceiling. And we know that when Jesus died, the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. And Hebrews tells us very clearly that neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We believe in Jesus. We accept his sacrifice on the cross as the final atonement or forgiveness for our sin. And I think that is awesome. Yes, ma'am. Well, technically, if you were there, you would start ripping at the bottom.
I'm a woman. I wouldn't be anywhere near it.
Right. But because it was from the top to the bottom, that implies very clearly to me anyway that God just kind of ripped it from top to bottom. Anybody have any other thoughts on that? I think it was 30 cubits high. It was a cube of 30 cubits, or was it 15 cubits? 15 cubits wide, deep, and high. 15 cubits high. And it was several layers thick. Yes.
No.
6 inches thick, yeah. So it wasn't like you didn't pull out your little pocket knife and start cutting at the bottom. It wouldn't last very long. Well, the high priests were in there. The high priest was in the holy place, and the Levites and other priests were in there all the time. Yes, ma'am. So the Day of Atonement, some fascinating facts. Something. Hey, folks, let's make a special offering and get a new one of these, can we? Please? Maybe 3BI could buy one. But we don't do 3BI out here. We do it in the classroom. After the temple was destroyed in AD 70, Jewish people could no longer offer sacrifices for atonement for their sins. So what do? They make it up and they make chickens. They sacrifice the chickens and other small critters. Possibly. Today, repentance, prayers, and good works are the means for obtaining atonement for sins. And this is sad because these are the people of God. These people had the law. They knew. They had Daniel that told them the exact date when Christ would be around, come down and present himself. But they just didn't believe it. Quite a few did, but remember, the way is narrow for the believers, and broad is the way of all the unbelievers. And there was so many people that didn't want that. So Yom Kippur, a day of fasting, there's no work to be done on this day, including at home. And a lot of people will go to the synagogue and pray for the forgiveness of their sins, but there's no dancing and that sort of stuff, happiness. They also read the book of Jonah. Jonah is sort of a character. He's one of the best missionaries. He's one of the worst missionaries. He's the best missionary because he went out there and he preached and everybody repented. He's the worst missionary because he went out there and he hated them. He didn't want them to repent, and he got angry with God for saving them. But they read his book in the afternoon to remind them of God's forgiveness and mercy. The Ninevites are known as the Nazis of the Old Testament. They were wicked and ruthless people that would go into a place and just destroy, hurt, damage, do whatever. Even they were worse than the Babylonians and Alexander the Great and all these guys that conquered. The Assyrians were from Nineveh was the headquarters. The Assyrians were just really bad people when they went out to war. But on the end, the Day of Atonement is finally done. Your sins have been atoned for. So all these sins are gone. And what happens? You get to go have breakfast. Because when does the Jewish day start? Sundown. So when does the Day of Atonement end? Sundown. So right after sundown, you have breakfast, i.e., you break your fast. You have a meal. And the Day of Atonement is done for another year. Any questions, comments?
Was it just the one day that they fasted, or the whole 10 days?
Depending on how religious they would be, it'd be an individual thing. For those 10 days, they would afflict their souls. They might miss a meal. There was nothing like the Day of Atonement, where they wouldn't eat all the way, the whole day. Self-flagellation or something?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because they knew that they were made in the image of God. Or should know. Anything else? Any other questions? Yep. It's back there. And again, you have to look upside down. But just remember, the middle one should be able to be moved. But when I had that made, I didn't make it movable. But it does move. And they also have an extra month of Adar, because we have a leap year. Well, they do it after I think 7 years, they have an extra whole month. Not exactly sure how that works out. Anything else? Then I will say it's coffee time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day again. We thank you that we have the rest of the scriptures and that we don't have superstitions and made up traditions, but we have, as we'll celebrate today, the Lord's table to remember what you did for us, not to give us any grace, not to give us an atonement, a covering for our sins. In fact, it says that we need to be right with you in order to participate. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to do that. Help us to keep very short accounts with you, and help us to have that fellowship, that joy that we can have every day of the year, since you have already taken care of our sins. Such a difference between having to bring a lamb and just trusting the lamb. And Lord, we know that in the millennium it'll be back, the having to bring a lamb. And again, it will cover their sins, which have been forgiven for the ones that were starting there, but the other ones that were born with the sin natures, Lord, they need to have their sins covered, or you will deal with them in a harsh way with that rod of iron. So, Lord, we ask your blessing now in the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.